He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.
And I am on this show from a remote location and in an area where it is a vacation place in the summertime. And the beaches around this neighborhood have just reopened as of this last weekend. It's interesting to watch. This has nothing to do with cars, but this is starting into where I'm going next. Everybody is still going to be social distancing properly if they want to make sure that nothing rebounds in the COVID virus topic that has plagued the nation for the last 3 months. But the point of this is about what is transportation being used like over here versus in past years. Bicycles and scooters. And it is notably that to me, I've never been over in this area as early as I am now, but people are on bicycles a lot more than I noticed in the past, and scooters are maybe, if not all the rage, becoming a very popular alternative means of getting around the local areas. Scooters, as Jay has told me, and he'll chime in, I hope, about the European situation, use of scooters, are basically low-powered motorbikes. 50cc engines, more or less, I think is sort of the limit of them. They go not more than 30 to 35 miles an hour. You must wear a helmet, but you don't need a motorcycle license to drive them. And they buzz like bees, I've noticed. And I indeed have added one to drive around this place where I am a lot of the summer. And it is a lot of fun, but I've found that in an area like this where there seem to be bugs, it is very smart to always wear eyewear besides the helmet. I have been out on this scooter a couple of times without eyewear, eye protection, and I have to spend a lot of time wondering when I'm going to get slapped in the eye by a bug, flying bug, which might interrupt my eyesight and be cause for a possible accident. The interesting thing about the scooter that I have is, and I think most scooters seem to have, is they have a cell phone charger as part of their equipment. And there's a little compartment, I think in most of them, but certainly in mine, where you can drop your cell phone tied to a charging cord. And actually, the charger is quite effective. Since it's only going to charge when the motor's running. But be as it may, they're economical. They do not cost much unless you get fancy with the quote-unquote trademarked Vespa name type, which is multiple times more expensive than some of the scooter brands that are made, as mine is, in Taiwan. They come with turn signals, flashers, disc brakes on the front wheels, drum brakes on the back. And they have a little compartment under the seat, so they have limited functionality as far as being able to carry large items along with the driver, unless you're wearing a backpack, which I would strongly advise people to do if they want to try to take these to, let's say, a market and buy not too many items, but enough that it could fit into a backpack for transporting home, because you're not going to store anything under the seat other than maybe a quart of milk or other items that you might have already in there, which would take up any storage space.
But isn't the purpose of the scooter just to zip around?
Yes.
So
it's basically just to zip around.
So same problem with bicycle, or not problem, but same,
yes,
same
that's
deal.
The same thing. If you were trying to use a bicycle as a transportation device for other than the rider, you'd need a backpack type of situation or some kind of sack that you could sling on the back fender or have a fender rack, which can come with bicycles, and you could bungee cord something to that. I think the same thing could happen with scooters. But they get 100 miles per tank full, which is plenty for around here. We've been talking on this show about electric cars ranges, but you don't use a motor scooter like you want to use an electric car, which is actually an electric car substitute for the fossil fuel vehicles we've been using for decades. The other topic I'll talk about before Jay gets going, unless he wants to add something about the scooters, Jay, do you want to do that?
Actually, as you are talking, I'm trying to figure out what the scooter
ratio is.
License requirements are and registration requirements.
At least
can you help us out on that? What's the situation both in Mass and Connecticut, if you know?
I do not know the Connecticut situation, so I thought if I ever transported my scooter back to Connecticut, I have seen a few of them on the road. Jay, I think you probably have too.
Yeah.
People going between Sharon and Lakeville. I don't know what I don't know the license laws. That would be interesting to see, but I'm wondering whether they are used by people who have lost their driver's licenses, because most of the people I have noticed on the very few scooters that I've seen on the roads in our neck of the woods have been not just kids. I think kids can buy. In Massachusetts, you do not need a license, as I said before. You do need to register the vehicle with the Registry of Vehicles in Massachusetts, and it costs $40 for a two-year plate registration.
You need a helmet?
You need a helmet. It's required. And the passenger is also required to wear a helmet if you have one passenger sitting in the back. I will say the ballot situation when you have a passenger, you really want to be skilled or schooled in balancing and how they go around corners and all that. And you also want to have a passenger that is very complementary to the way you want to ride the bike and not play around, as I recently experienced with a passenger on the back who decided they wanted to jiggle or lean one way while I was leaning the other. And that does not make one feel very confident if you're driving along with an extra several pounds of weight in the back and they're playing around in the back. You want to be quiet as far as I'm concerned if I'm driving and I have a passenger.
So by and large, what are the roads like over there? Are there lots of people on the road?
Paved. Bumpy. You do want to pay attention to bumps and potholes because the tires on scooters are very small in respect. I think they're 11-inch or 12-inch tires, and potholes would be particularly jolting to a scooter rider if you did not see it and you hit it. The suspensions on scooters are not particularly compliant, I have found. They do have some travel, but they're fairly stiff. The tires, I believe, are inflated to 28 pounds, which might be fairly stiff for a tire on a scooter and make the ride stiffer. And you certainly want to pay attention to the road about 110% of the time you're driving because of you are supposed to hug the right side of the road with a scooter, and they do come with rear side mirrors. And I find that your shoulders may get in the way if you don't adjust them properly. And you just need to adjust them so that you can actually see if a vehicle is coming up behind you, because you're not going to hear it with a scooter exhaust system. Driven safely, they're fine. I have not gone off of a square mile set of roads, which are, you know, four left in your back or four right in your back at your start. I've not taken it on a 14-mile journey to the actual scooter place or where I purchased it. I am going to do that sometime because I'm interested to see what a long ride is like. The big thing with scooters that they tell you when you buy one brand new is you want to break the engine in properly, because the engines, you know, I don't know what the length of the life of an engine is. The guy I bought the place I bought the scooter at said he didn't really know either. But
well, why did you buy the scooter?
Miles.
Why did you buy the scooter?
Well, I bought the scooter sort of in an impulse situation. I was actually looking at the scooters for a friend of mine who asked me to research scooters for this woman, and I did not really research a scooter location, and there are not very many scooter locations in Connecticut or Massachusetts or Rhode Island, for that matter. But I knew of a place over here in Rhode Island, And so I told this woman that I would research the scooters for her, and I ended up buying one.
Well, this is how you got most of your cars. Jay, I want to ask you.
Yeah, that's how I got most of my cars, Jill. You're absolutely correct.
So that's really helpful. Jay, I'm sure you've got something to say, but before you do, I just want to note, I want to ask either one of you if you have noticed that adverts for cars have become much more upbeat and much more, hey, come on, get in your car and let's... Let's
Jay will cover that because sales are getting
better. Let's talk about that in a second. Let me just quickly say about the scooter/moped situation in Connecticut. From what I've just been reading, as Robin was telling us about it, and take this with a grain of salt because I'm not, it's quick research. It seems that if your scooter is over 50 cc's in Connecticut, you need to register it. If it is under 50 cc's, just like a moped, you do not need to register the vehicle, and you do not need to carry insurance. However, you still need to be 16, and you still need to hold a driver's license to operate a scooter as well as a moped, which I can tell you I have seen a lot of kids under the age of 16 riding around on scooters in the last few years here in Connecticut. But that's what my quick little research
I suspect that they're probably not going to do. I don't know whether the state police or even local police would try to check out people looking underage or not, because unless they were driving recklessly, and I would say over here it would behoove us not to drive recklessly on scooters. I have been passed by a few of the local police force on my scooter. I do not yet have a plate because I can't get into the registry of vehicles live to pick it up because they won't make they don't allow me to set up an appointment online, although that's the way that you have to do it to get in. So I've had them coming at me, and there would be only a plate on the rear once I get it, and I've had them coming behind me, and none has decided to pull me over to check to see whether or not why I don't have a plate on it yet or not. So
great.
The good news for a user of scooters is probably that they can get away with using the scooter as long as they're safe and don't attract attention. Would you agree, Jay?
Yeah.
In Europe, they're a main urban mode of transportation, are they not?
Okay. They're,
weather
they're,
permitting?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, okay. I want to just go to the Bronco situation. The pictures are leaking out. They're getting closer to production. The last video I watched on the Bronco was consumed with this transmission, the manual transmission that has leaked a picture of a 7-speed manual transmission design logo on the knob, with one of the positions being marked as a C, and it is defined as a crawler position. For people who are into Jeeps, with the 2-speed transfer cases and the rock crawling alternatives that those 2-speed gearboxes or transmission boxes give you, it's not the number of speeds in the transmission, it's a gear reduction situation. It is Ford's idea of what one will be able to do if they buy a Bronco with a manual transmission and want to go rock crawling.
Let me say this. Nobody's going to buy a new Bronco and go rock crawling.
I think you're absolutely right, Jay. I think that I don't know. I'm becoming less and less inclined to think that the Bronco itself is going to be a big competitor to the Wrangler. As much as I liked my Broncos back when I bought my first vehicle, which was in 1969, and it was the Bronco, and then I had a 73 with the V8 and the automatic. Later,
let me go a step further. I don't think a lot of people with new Wranglers go rock crawling either.
You're probably right, except maybe out in the Midwest where I think, yeah, but I haven't seen a lot of articles of Jeeping where I've seen the new Wranglers evident in the groups of Jeepers Jeeping in
I'm not disagreeing with that at all. I am saying that I've seen a number of, shall we say, certainly new, there's a lot of traffic here, and I would just say that I don't think any of those cars are used for off-road.
I know you're right, Jill. There's no question in our neck of the woods, people buying new Jeeps are doing anything but driving them as alternative vehicles to anything else they might have bought in lieu of a Jeep. Right. The image of a Jeep is known to many, and I think people enjoy it. What I do notice over here, that where there are also a lot of Jeeps, is the number of convertible Jeeps, or with Jeeps with convertible tops, and the tops are down, and you know they're full of 4 to 5 passengers, and the fold back top, which is one of the options of tops. There are several top options for the Wrangler, is down, and the doors come off the Jeeps too.
And, I just cannot get excited, and I cannot see.
Well, I'm not getting excited either. It's just a topic for those people who are Jeepers. If anybody's listening, they know more about the Jeeps than you and I do.
Well, then let's move on to, Jay, what you were going to say about the shall we say, enthusiasm factor. If you've noticed, and certainly in trying to get people back out there.
Well, traffic's up, that's for sure.
I was talking about adverts initially. I was just because they are, I am sure that you remember how everything, I believe we commented on it, how everything had, the somber piano music to begin with. And, and we'll take care of you because you're not driving. And it has gradually in the last, I would say, 4 weeks, become far more upbeat. Let's get back out there. And,
well, they're also advertising eight-year loans or seven-year loans and everything they can do to entice the buyer back into purchasing a vehicle. And I think Jay said, I've heard, Jay, I think you brought it up, people are going to buy cars because they don't want to go on commuter rail and buses to get places because of the virus situation. So sales may be up because of that, too. Jay?
Yeah, sales are I was reading about sales. I think they're coming back to not the levels we were at before, but probably 75% there. You know, factories are operating at normal capacity again. People are going back in dealerships. There are articles out there about how even dealerships are surprised that people are coming back to dealerships. So, throughout the pandemic, online sales were the only way to go, and a lot of manufacturers and dealers increased their online sales. But now that people want to go out again, people are beating the floors of dealerships again, once again. And you have to wonder why. You know, I keep saying it's the most antiquated model in retail, but that's the way it is. People want to feel it, kick it, get abused, and eventually just sign on the dotted line inside the showroom of a dealership.
Well, so. Carvana, we've talked about in the past, has been also joined by Vroom. Jay, have you done any research on Vroom?
To advertising, Jill, I see a lot of Carvana ads and a lot of Vroom ads.
Yeah, it's very alarming.
They're upbeat ads, Jill.
Yeah, I think Vroom, and I think I saw a quick blurb on that. I think they just went public and raised a
lot of money.
Yeah, a lot of money.
The stock opened at something like 25, and I heard the other day from a person who knew it was up at 50 after the opening day.
Right, and I think it's going to be like those robot.
Should I have bought it or not? The question is, will it hold?
I would say, I saw the most beautifully produced piece for these robotic pizza makers and pizza trucks. That I mean, they raised millions of dollars, and they did make a beautiful promotional
piece.
There's
no end to the creativity of marketing in the United States.
Exactly. Unfortunately, you actually need a transaction. You need a product.
Keep going.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true.
So we'll see. I would be more interested, actually, because I suspect that that there's going to be an influx of people into the country or the suburbs or the more rural areas that are going to require vehicles to move their people around.
Yeah, you're right.
And
I just want to go back. Give me 30 seconds when you're finished, Jill, to just go back to the Jeep Department of Vehicles, because the new Land Rover Defender is out.
All right,
and it's going to be another fancy, expensive off-road vehicle that can do everything that Wrangler can do, but nobody's going to take it off-road because it's too delicate looking, and yeah. too expensive to risk going rock crawling out in the Moab Desert or not mountains or whatever to damage these $50,000 to $100,000 vehicles that are
right. I imagine that those are some of the ones that will be purchased by people who are coming up here. And
I haven't yet. In the Northwest Quarter, and Jay and I are going to see who sees it first.
We should have a raffle.
Challenge for Jay. Okay. He probably will win.
Well, not necessarily, because you are not exactly, shall we say, out of the woods. You're in a place where you could well see one as
I could see one where I am.
Your remote location.
That showed up.
So we're going to have to see if that counts. Are you seeing more traffic there, though?
I'm seeing more traffic on all the roads. 95 has certainly gotten more heavily trafficked in the past 2 weeks. The Merritt Parkway that I also go on is also much more heavily traveled. I haven't run into traffic jams yet, but you know what they were trying to do? They're trying to do a lot of road construction when the roads were empty, and the construction is not finished. So any construction is causing the same thing construction always causes on these limited access highways, which is a one-lane pass-by, which slows down the three or two lanes for miles back with it. And can be very annoying for people trying to get from A to B in an appropriate time frame.
And Jay, what are you finding? You're finding more. Did you start driving again?
I'm driving a little bit, but not all that much. But there's a lot of there's a lot of traffic. People are back on the roads. I think people want to be out there. And I know we're running out of time, so I'll probably talk about this more next week. But you know. Who are we seeing on the roads? This is a season where you see a lot of RVs, a lot of vehicles with trailers and boats and recreational vehicles being towed. And I think now's a good time to remind people that if you're traveling on the highways, stick to the right side of the road unless you're going to pass. It is the law in a dozen states, and it should be the same law in all 50 states. But
and the middle lane seems to be the travel lane in many of these multiple three-lane roadways, I find. The right lane is often the most open lane for quite a long time, unless there are RVs and tractor trailers. But even the tractor trailers are going down the middle lane a lot, I've found in Route 95, for example, where there are three lanes.
Yep.
I don't know why people have a phobic about the right lane, Jay. Do you have a clue, and then we'll close?
No, and we can go over this over and over. I think it's a safety issue. I think the simple rule of keep right except to pass is the rule that should apply. And if you're being smart and being safe, that is what you do. You stay in the right lane. If you have to move over one, you move over one, and then you move back into the right lane. If you're already in the middle lane and you need to pass somebody in the middle lane, you go in the left lane, and then you go back. And it works very well in states
properly.
And countries where it's been ingrained in people's minds and people are reminded, on a constant basis. But, I was just looking at the laws, and they vary from state to state, and they're very complicated and unnecessarily so. But that's my rant for the week, but I think it's a safety tip as well.
I think it fits. I think it counts. And thank you very much, both of you. He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.